Ah. Ah. Never start with the head. The victim gets all fuzzy. He can't feel the next... See?
You wanted me. Here I am.
I wanted to see what you'd do. And you didn't disappoint. You let 5 people die. And then... you let Dent take your place. Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
Where's Dent?
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? What, go back to ripping off mobsters? No, no. You complete me.
You're garbage. Who kills for money?
Don't talk like one of them. You're not. Even if you'd like to be. To them, you're just a freak. Like me. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Lindsay Leverage is here.
Hey guys,
how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, it's been a pretty full week.
Yeah. It's anime season preview guide time. So,
yep, strapped in for that. Also, not sure when I'm checking out.
Also, New York Comic Con.
Yes.
So busy week. And we've also got Manga Guide coming up. So
yep,
there's a lot of stuff coming in. But this week we're talking about a character you may remember called Batman.
Yeah, me and Batman go way back.
Yeah, from 80-something years of content and like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of movies. So many fucking movies that it's kind of hard to keep track of them all. But the reason we're talking about that is because this week the controversial film Joker opened in theaters.
It sure did.
And we saw it last night. And we're going to just get this out of the way right away. So this is a movie about a mentally ill man with a mentally ill mother who starts murdering people. And launches, becomes famous for it and launches a... basically a political movement around his murdering. And, well, I don't want to mince words here. I fucking hated this movie.
It was into the film, you know, with mixed ideas. I'd seen some of the stuff the director had said in news articles and whatnot, some of his complaints about PC culture or whatever, and I had seen some of the backlash to that, and I was like, I'm going to put that aside. I'm just going to go watch this movie. Because prior to any of that coming out, I'd seen the trailer and I was interested. But, wow, that was like an uncomfortable 2 hours. Kind of just squirming in my seat the whole time. I don't consider myself an overly sensitive person to provocative media, but I did not like this movie. I did not enjoy watching this movie. I left the theater disturbed.
I left fucking mad.
You were mad?
I was upset.
Yeah.
And not because, like, I got trolled or anything like that, but I can't believe how fucking irresponsible this thing is.
Right.
So the director of this is... It stars Joaquin Phoenix, who you may remember from the film Gladiator. I played him on the cold open earlier this week. I love Joaquin. But he's difficult to work with and makes kind of challenging media. So I understand that part. But this is directed by a director named Todd Phillips, who made movies you may remember like The Hangover, The Hangover Part 2, The Hangover Part 3. And you know, many more comedies like that. And he's been out in the press basically saying, like, oh, you can't make comedy anymore because Hollywood's too woke now, which is basically a millionaire whining that he can't make quote unquote edgy comedies that, you know, make jokes at the expense of marginalized people. Like,
there's plenty of successful comedies coming out.
There's plenty of great comedies. There were watch Booksmart, watch Good Boys. Those are unbelievable. Like, Seth Rogen makes great comedies. That's the guy who makes great comedies. Todd Phillips' comedies, like, I don't know if you watched all of those Hangover movies.
Just the first two. After the second one, I was like, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you notice how dark and angry and weird it got? The third one is even darker and angrier and weirder. Like,
yeah.
But it's mostly just dark and angry. So, like, this guy's got some fucking problems. And I suppose my question for him is, like, what are you so fucking mad about? You're a millionaire Hollywood movie director. What in the world do you have to be so fucking mad about?
You made it, bro.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah. So anyway, I truly hated this because it honestly felt like it was literally being made for the type of person who posts like hate manifestos on like 4chan or 8chan. Like, that's who it felt like it was being made for. Like, the kind of person that spends their entire life online just fucking angry. That's who it felt like it was being made for. And
someone who wants to murder groups of people so they can get famous.
Because
that's essentially what he does by the end of it. He doesn't go out to get famous when he starts killing people because it's a result of his mental illness.
I mean, he does.
He definitely enjoys the glory once he gets it, and no one decides to go on live television and kill people unless they want to get famous. That's
honestly
the whole point.
I really, because you're so inside of his head the entire movie, like, that movie is basically like one long close-up shot of Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
You're so inside of his head. They go way out of their way to justify his murders. Like, oh, they were rich assholes, or oh, his mother abused him. Or, you know, whatever. Spoiler alert, I suppose. Or, this guy lied about him at his work. You know, like, they go way out of their way to justify the murders. And then he starts a social revolution, basically, built around killing people. Which isn't that basically like the spree shooter fantasy? Isn't that it exactly? Like, oh, I'm going to go into this mall, shoot a bunch of people, and then everyone will learn the truth then.
Like, media has adapted specifically to not including shooters' names to try and deter people from seeking fame for that reason specifically. Right. Like, as a society, we have adjusted based on that particular psychosis.
Yeah, exactly. And so this movie just glorifies it completely. And I honestly thought it sympathized with the Joker so much that he's like the hero of the film. It's not.
Or he's supposed to be, but I didn't even feel like they. Maybe it's because I'm a rational human being, but I never felt sympathy towards him. Like, there were parts where it felt like they were like making steps to try and get you to sympathize with him. Oh, he had this horrible abusive childhood. Oh, social services lost its funding and now he can't get his medication. Oh, people don't have enough empathy for the mentally ill. That's all true. But
that doesn't mean you get to start fucking murdering people. And it also has a dim view of society. Like, it's painting this picture of society where everyone is trash. Everyone's garbage, you know, which is, come on, Holden Caulfield, calm the fuck down.
Yeah, like, it was like a literal metaphor. So it's set in early 80s in not New York. And I believe around that time there was an actual garbage strike where this was something that's actually happening.
Yeah, it's pulling
but,
from that.
So, I mean, but that's not the point. The point is that the continual building up of trash is supposed to be reflective of society there. And it has a pretty negative view of minorities for the most part, too.
Yeah, like,
I noticed in the beginning that the gang of kids that steals a sign to beat him up, they're all kids of color.
Yep. And
the lady and the kid on the subway where she, you know, tells him to leave her kid alone. She's black.
Yeah.
The social worker who doesn't seem to be listening to him well enough and noticing what a problem he's becoming. She's black. It's like, and then the guy who kind of brushes him off when he steals his mom's file, also black. So it's like they just keep introducing like minor characters that are people of color and they're all endemic of his problem. Like, yeah, they're all the people who miss it. And then they keep framing it again with the garbage. And then when he gets the gun from the guy in the very beginning, it's his white coworker, and he's talking about how, you know, it's just getting worse. They're going to take advantage of you. And this is all in reference to these kids of color that beat him up. And the white guy gives him a gun to protect himself from them. And I was just like, you know, you're either the director, whoever, is either completely ignorant or a complete bigot.
I think he's just an asshole.
Sure.
Like, they knew what they were making. Like, and like, there's a little person character, and they make a bunch of little person jokes, which is shitty. Like,
it's shitty and tired.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lame. It's fucking lame. Like, I don't know, man. I hated this thing. Like, yeah, not necessarily from at the beginning. I tried to keep an open mind. I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, what, you know, I love Joaquin, so maybe this will be all right. You know, I have a long history with Batman as a franchise, so, you know, maybe this will be okay. You know, I love, you know, sort of arty takes on things, but I thought this was just the fucking pits. Like, as it went on, my stomach was turning. Like,
oh yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
God, especially the ending. So I want right. to get
so the ending. Like,
I want to get into this. Spoiler alert! If you don't want spoilers for this movie, I'm gonna put a time code in right here, and you know, you can skip if you want. So at the end of this movie, he finally gets his dream gig, which is a spot on Robert De Niro's talk show.
He's basically like a filler for Jay Leno.
As a stand-up comedian. Well, it's a little more David Letterman.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, well, I've watched a lot of late-night shit. what happens is he goes and does a stand-up routine and can't stop laughing, and his clip sort of basically goes the 1981 version of viral, which means it gets played on this guy's show, which is something that, you know, Letterman would probably do. Meanwhile, you know, Robert De Niro's character, by the way, is drawn directly from, and a lot of this movie is actually drawn directly from the Martin Scorsese film, The King of Comedy.
Which is I haven't seen that, so I didn't catch any of that.
That's a much better portrait of sociopathy.
Okay.
Because you're not meant to sympathize with the main character. Like, it's drawn specifically so that you don't sympathize with the main character. You're meant to feel uncomfortable. In that movie, the Robert De Niro character is played by Jerry Lewis. So the curtains on the talk show that he's on are it's the exact same ones from The King of Comedy. Like, he's pulling right from it. So he goes on this show, and his original idea was to kill himself on the show.
Yeah.
What he does instead is shoot the host in the head, and his brains splatter all over the logo of his show. Mm-hmm. And then the Joker gets up and then puts his face right in the camera, and then it zooms out to show how famous he is now.
Yeah.
You know, all the TV showing his face. And then he goes out and he gets arrested, of course, and then he's in the cop car, and the city is on fire with people in Joker masks.
Rioting, yeah.
They're all inspired by him and his violence and, you know, basically rallying to him. And two of them basically destroy the cop car that he's in, drag him out. Everyone rallies around him. And then, so I don't know how familiar you are with Batman lore, but in this movie, Joe Chill, who is the person who kills Bruce Wayne's parents.
Yeah.
Has a Joker mask on when he does it. And they show the Wayne's blood splattering all over little Bruce's face.
God. We get to see the pearls again.
And then there's a huge mob of Joker fans around him on the roof of this destroyed cop car while he draws a blood smile on his face.
And does a little jig.
And does a dance, which he's been doing the entire time because he's trying to outdo Heath Ledger, which he can't. And then he murders his therapist, and then the movie ends.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you.
They try to draw a similarity between, like, his circumstances and Bruce's too at that last scene, because he starts laughing and he's like, oh, I just thought of a joke. Like, it's some sort of dark joke that he was the orphan child of Thomas Wayne, and then now Bruce is too.
Like,
so they're trying to draw a parallel between the two of them or something. Like, and it's just...
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't pick up on that, but like, given our political environment, how many people in America die from spree shooters? This is totally irresponsible.
Right. I wrote a longer thread on there, but like, art doesn't exist in a vacuum anymore. You can't just...
No shit, make, it doesn't. It never has. Shit,
it never has, but I mean, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. And the audience reactions to this movie, which the director seems to have such a problem with, is because of the environment that we live in. I sat down for this film and saw a preview screen that reminded me to report any suspicious behavior in the movie and to make sure to flee far away from the theater in case of an emergency, which is directly just like, hey, while you're sitting here, someone might try to kill you, because people do that now. Yeah. Also, here's a movie about that.
Yeah, I was a little freaked out because the guy next to me, he had a notebook and was like taking notes during the movie, and also had a big backpack with him. Yeah. And kept getting up and going out and then coming back in and then getting up and going out and coming back in. And I was like, and they had like extra security there.
There was a cop at my theater.
Yeah. Like,
there's a cop waiting in the box office just in case, you know, someone wanted to do an Aurora repeat. And I mean, I was unsettled because the movie ended and then people in the back started clapping. We got a couple of applauses and I was immediately suspicious of them. Like, oh, fuck, who are you? And
yeah, I booed. I literally went, boo! Because fuck you. God damn. There has not been a movie that has pissed me off and been like this irresponsible in a really long time. It's been a while since, like, we talk about movies a lot on this show, and I, you know, I go into things with an open mind, and lately I've been like, this is great, this is great, this is great. And like, this is trash. Do not give it your money.
Yeah.
Do not. Yeah. Especially if you have like literally any political context for the world that we live in. Like, yeah, fuck it. Don't watch it. But I do have a very long history with Batman as a character. As a kid in the 80s and 90s, my favorite cartoon, aside from all the other favorite cartoons I had, was Batman the Animated Series.
That was a staple on TV for me at the time, and me and my brother watched. My brother had, like, all the toys. My parents saved them because they were sure they were going to be worth money someday or something. We've got that Batmobile from when the first Batman movie came out, with the missiles that launched out of it. They went nuts with the merchandising. I remember he had Night Batman, which was as in like with a K, so he's like in full armor and had a horse. We've got that one.
They got weird
and creative. We, you know, my brother had the play set that was supposed to look like, you know, the Batcave and everything. You know, we were a Batman house, and we saw those movies and we wore out the tapes and we watched the cartoon. I remember seeing Mask of the Phantasm in theaters.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I love that movie.
That movie's good.
It's real good. I loved that show, and Batman, in my opinion, was always at his best. And the reason that I think I liked him as a hero back then, I honestly, like, time has changed, and my opinion of this is different now. But back then, I think the reason I liked it was because he was compassionate towards the villains, who are largely mentally ill. He would show them basically mercy. And that's what I liked about it so much. Plus, you know, he had a cool car and fun gadgets and everything. I understand the character a bit differently now. And he's not like, I wouldn't call myself a big Batman fan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like lots of those movies. They're a lot of fun sometimes. Do you have a favorite Batman movie?
I think favorite Batman movie is going to have to be Batman Returns.
Really?
with Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer. That was the one I watched the most as a kid. I had the video game.
Oh, yeah.
played the side-scrolling video game. And that movie is just, nuts on paper. Like, if you break down the plot for that film, it's completely absurd. It's very comic book, very Tim Burton when Tim Burton, I feel, was still fun.
Yeah, when he still knew how to make good movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, what stuck with me the most with that movie is, as a girl who had a lot of stuffed animals as a kid, you know, there's that scene where Michelle Pfeiffer puts them all down the garbage disposal. That used to bother me a lot as a kid. Like, really? I felt really bad for stuffed animals.
Do you remember when McDonald's had to yank their Batman Returns toys because the movie was so dark and weird and parents complained that they were selling toys for Batman Returns at McDonald's?
No, I didn't know that happened.
It sure did.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, but Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman was kind of pivotal to me.
Really?
I think, well, she, I was, what year did that movie come out?
92.
92. So I was like 5, so I probably actually didn't see it until I was more like 8 or 9. Her sexuality in that film was sort of, I don't know, kind of like at a little bit of an awakening moment.
Oh, really?
Kid. Yeah, yeah.
When you were like, maybe ladies.
Maybe ladies who also kick ass. Because, you know, she uses her sexuality against Batman as sort of a weapon. There's that tension there the whole time. And I, unless I'm mixing her up with Batman Forever, I think they have like a sex scene in front of a fireplace, you know, all off camera.
That's Batman Forever.
Oh, okay, okay. But there's the part where either she's wounded or he's wounded, and they like treat each other's wounds or something.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know, they play it up quite a bit. And then Danny DeVito, has he ever been anything close to the Penguin in any film since?
I mean, the makeup is nuts, and he went for it. And they have that army of penguins with the little rockets on their backs.
They're so cute.
It's cute.
And he's got a giant rubber ducky boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And he lives in the sewers because his parents abandoned him because he eats cats and kept him in a dog kennel. Like, what is that?
Yeah, and Christopher Walken's in it. Like, yeah,
that's, I forgot about one. That. He's like a slimy politician, right?
Yeah, Max Schreck. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, he owns a department store or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But he's Catwoman's boss, basically.
Right. He's the one who pushes her out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. I think she's his secretary. Yeah. Batman Returns is a really kind of fucked up movie. Like, it's a little. I mean, I can totally understand why parents back then were like, It's great, though. Like, it's a really good movie. My favorite is Batman 66. Okay. Because I like fun, and Batman 66 Batman's at his best when it's really goofy and silly, and it's literally just dumb jokes,
right?
And like dancing and props and silly, stupid shit, and like the villains are all really goofy. And
that movie have like 3 plots. I've seen it once, and it seems like 3 episodes put together.
It kind of is, yeah. It's kind of like that. But that is my favorite, which. My second favorite, I think, is Batman 89, which, you know, Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, the famous one.
And Prince.
Yeah, yeah.
Soundtrack is so good.
Kim Basinger, yeah.
Yeah, like Kim Basinger's a whole look.
She had a whole look in that one. Like, she looked great in that movie. But everyone looks great in that movie. But that has that fame, you know, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, you know, that line, like, yeah, that's a good one. This is controversial, and people don't like it when I say this. They do not like it when I bring this up, but my third favorites combo, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, the Joel Schumacher ones that everyone loves to hate, but are so close to the 66 one in terms of being just goofy fun.
Yeah.
I love those movies.
So I had Batman Forever soundtrack on tape.
Everyone had that.
It was good.
Yeah.
And Chemical Man on there.
Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, they had Seal on there. That song was big when it came out.
It was huge.
All the radio stations.
Yeah, it was gigantic.
I just rewatched that not that long ago, and Val Kilmer is, he's pure camp throughout the whole thing. And I love the part.
Yeah, they're both like total camp. That's great. I those movies are extremely entertaining. And I understand that like people don't necessarily love camp and they're like, Batman is serious. First of all, no, it's not. And second of all, why don't you like to have fun? Like, it's a bunch of silly cartoon jokes. Like, those movies are ridiculous.
Yeah. Part where he goes to see Nicole Kidman as Batman to figure out if she's in love with him as Bruce Wayne, and then, like, leaves and, like, does the cartoon smile on the way out of her window.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. No. Those movies were kind of sold as, like, Batman is here. And it's like, then you show up and they're like, it's Batman. Like, just goofy as hell. Like, everyone's bringing it in both of them. Like, they're doing these really big cartoon stupid ass performances. The plots are kind of like whatever, but like at least you're having fun and laughing, and you're not watching a fucking spree shooter manifesto.
Fuck yeah.
You know
I'd rather watch Arnold Schwarzenegger pretend to be a scientist and resurrect his frozen wife than
And teach his henchmen to sing songs from A Year Without a Santa Claus while they chew on frozen dinners. And, like, shiver his hockey team. Like, it's fucking... And everyone's having a good time in that movie. Like, all the performances are really big. They have those, like, neon thugs. Like,
yeah.
I like Batman and Robin. I think it's got it in a bad rap. Like, I suppose people just don't like silly, stupid, goofy stuff like that much anymore. But like, people shat on that thing for years, but I love it. Like,
yeah,
I
people think threw it's a fit great. About like the nipple suits and stuff.
Yeah, it's really well, okay. Aware
that Batman and Robin are kind of gay icons anyway. So, come well, on, guys,
not just that, but like, it's a Joel Schumacher film. He puts nipples on everything.
Everything.
Seriously, like, no, like, watch his version of Phantom of the Opera. All the statues have giant nipples. Like, it's just his thing. If you just understand Joel Schumacher, it's not going to weird you out too much, and it'll probably make you laugh.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin opens with, like, all of these ass shots. Like,
right.
Like, it has all these butt shots in that movie. It's fucking absurd. Like,
yeah. The suit up montages.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I know people hate that movie, but I suppose it's a little bit of a troll to be like, actually, my third favorite is Batman and Robin. Like, people are like, what? Like, but watch it again. I think you might have a good time.
Yeah, like, what's your opinion on the Nolan films then, though?
So I don't really like them.
Okay.
Batman Begins, I think, is boring.
It's pretty bloated, and I feel like throughout the whole trilogy, there's too much.
Yeah.
Like, imagine taking The Dark Knight and, like, cutting the whole bit about Hong Kong out of it. Like, why is that?
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, yeah, there's just a lot. And then with the first one, they have, military technology that vaporizes water is going to be used to get everyone high on LSD through the pipe system and also a prison break or something.
All right. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
I don't rewatch Batman Begins hardly ever. I do like The Dark Knight for Heath Ledger.
Right.
Obviously, we're just recreating that. His performance is electric. I think it totally saves that movie. Without him, that movie would be just another boring 2.5 hour long Christopher Nolan Batman film. It also has really weird Bush era politics about surveillance. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense at the end. Well, it makes sense at the end. It's just like, there's no way you're going to build a surveillance panopticon and then just give it up. Like, that wouldn't happen. Not that I'm expecting realism, but it's sort of justifying surveillance, which is, unasked for, unwanted surveillance, like people being surveilled against their will. And Batman's just like, I have to do this because I need to catch the Joker, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah, Christian Bale, honestly, I think is kind of weird in those movies. Like, His Batman voice is absurd. The third one is, I think, straight up awful. Like, it's just this bloated mess. Now, they didn't want to make that. And I can you can tell, like, they really didn't want to make that movie because Heath Ledger fucking died playing the Joker.
Right.
And, you know, their friend died making a Batman movie. And so, but Christopher Nolan was contractually bound to make another one. And so they made another one, and it's really weird. Like, it's really bloated and has, like, four different storylines, and none of them really come together that well. It's also
and he runs off with Catwoman in the end.
Yeah, it's a little elitist, and there's that silly Bane voice, you know, Batman, you know, that silly Bane voice. It's dull, and it takes forever to get going, and it takes forever to end, and... Yeah, I don't know. I, you know, not really. Like, when I think about those movies, I think about Heath. That's what I think about. And that's it. Like, and the silly Christian Bale voice. There's more Batman movies.
There's more. I haven't seen any of the Ben Affleck ones. Good. I think I was just sort of done after sitting through the Nolan ones.
Yeah,
like, I'm kind of over this character, and I've got a million Marvel heroes to pick from now, so...
Yeah, don't. Watch those. They're
because for a long time Batman was the only superhero on the block. Like, if you wanted to see a superhero movie, you saw the Batman movie because there wasn't really. Yes. I mean, there was the old Superman ones.
Spider-Man was around.
Was it
from 2001?
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's 20 years ago at this point.
Oh God, I remember seeing all the Tobey Maguire ones in theaters and just being. Loving those, so.
And X-Men, they were around since 2001.
You're right. I saw those too.
There's plenty of other ones. For the 90s, you're right, though. It was mostly just Batman. There were other things, but not as many as, you know, certainly not as many as we have now. But you're right. It kind of was the only game in town for, like, the 90s. Those Ben Affleck ones are... Ugh, Zack Snyder stuff, you know, yet more toxic masculinity bullshit. But anyway.
You know, don't see the Joker, go rewatch Batman and Robin.
Yeah, good point. Don't watch Joker. Give yourself a wide berth, keep an open mind, get ready to chuckle, and watch Batman and Robin again. Like, don't watch a YouTube video that tells you to hate it. Just watch the movie. Like, it's really silly and fun. Don't take it seriously. It's not taking itself seriously for even a second.
No.
It's absurd. So,
you can get Bane in that one, too, and he's roided up and ridiculous.
Yeah, silly cartoon muscles. Yeah. He's following Poison Ivy. Like, a scene where he's, like, he's got, like, a fedora and a trench coat on, and he's, like, driving Poison Ivy around town. it's so fucking silly.
Where did they get a trench coat that he could fit his arms into?
I don't. Well, so that was my question when I saw that scene again. I was like, wait, did they go to a store?
It's bespoke. They had some guy in a suit measure his bicep out and make the sleeves for that for him.
They walked into a Macy's, Poison Ivy, and Bane. The costumes in that movie are fucking nuts, by the way. Like, they're crazy. Poison Ivy especially. She's got, like, those twin cones on her head. Like,
oh, right, right.
The red hair with the, like, twin, like, cones. I don't know if they're supposed to be, like, devil horns or something, but it is.
That was kind of a thing during that time period. Like, if you look up old pictures of Gwen Stefani, she kind of had that hairdo, too.
Yeah, you're
sort
right.
of a thing.
Yeah, you're right. Well, anyway, the Smashing Pumpkins recorded the song for the end of that movie. And
I forgot that.
Yeah, it's a special end of the movie song that they recorded for that. And then also R. Kelly, unfortunately. But, anyway.
That's before we knew.
So
okay.
What's in the news?
All right, so only got a little bit of news.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can start with, for all you Yu Yu Hakusho fans, a new OVA came out. Recently, and Funimation's going to bring it to you. So if you're a big fan of Yu Yu Hakusho, you're going to get to see that new OVA. Two episodes, and they're getting Justin Cook and Christopher Sabat to return as the main characters Yusuke and Kazuma.
Cool.
So yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with that franchise, but I know it's important to a lot of people.
Yeah, kind me neither.
And then the other big news fresh from today is mediation failed in the Vic Mignogna case. So the judge ruled from the bench today and has dismissed all of his law against everybody.
LOL. Fuck off. I that is great news.
It is. I hope there's no appeals. I really do, because I am tired.
Yeah, no shit, right? You're like, I need a fucking nap.
Yeah, I need a long, long nap from this whole debacle. I guess appeals are an option, but because this was an anti-slap case, it getting dismissed means that he is on the hook for everyone's attorney's fees, and there'll be another hearing to decide how much he has to pay in sanctions for filing essentially a frivolous lawsuit.
I mean, did they really think it was going to turn out some other way?
I think they did. I don't know why.
Well, those fucking grifters that were managing this whole thing, like, whatever. Fuck them. Go to hell. And I'm so glad. That's good news.
Yeah.
I'm happy it's done, at least for now. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
That, like, I know you can constantly sit and say, like, well, maybe not, but, like, look, this is devastating. I don't necessarily think he's going to be able to come back from this. If he has to pay everybody's legal fees, that's it. Like, that's it. It's
his
done.
Finances are fucked.
It's done. That's a lot of money. So.
Oh, it's a lot of money, because one of the defendants is Funimation, which is now owned by Sony, and I'm sure their legal team is not cheap.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's got it. Oh, he has to pay Funimation back, right?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah,
see you in hell.
He's on the hook for Funimation, Monica Ryle, Ronald Toy, and Jamie Marchi's legal fees. And then separate court sanctions, because it was a slap suit, which means it interferes with their First Amendment rights. And so the court will sanction him to try and deter him and others from filing similar suits.
Awesome. Well, maybe don't do that next time, bitch. Oh, geez. Man, am I glad that shit is over for now.
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
So sick of fucking Vic and his bullshit. God, I hope it's just done. I hope it's just, like, over. Like, that would be great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, other than everything that's going on with Preview Guide.
Okay, so it's Preview Guide time. Have you watched some shows?
I'm updating it a lot. So I've watched one show, and I've read all the reviews for all the other shows.
Okay, I watched a bunch of stuff. So,
okay.
What did you watch? So the thing you watched was High School Prodigies Have It Easy, Even Another World. Admittedly, I didn't get to this one. So what's that one about?
This one's about seven high schoolers who are all super at something. Like, one's an inventor, one's an entrepreneur, one's the prime minister of Japan, swordsman, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all on a plane together for some unknown reason. The plane crashes, and then when they wake up, they're in a fantasy world that has animal people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've decided that they're going to help evolve the society there.
Okay. Is it good?
No, it's not good. It looks good, in my opinion, as far as, like, the art, and there's some scenes of food that made me hungry. But other than that, it's pretty dull when all your characters already can do everything. There's no challenge. You know, there's no challenge presented in the plot. So where's the tension?
Where's the drama? Yeah.
Where's the drama? There isn't any. Probably the dumbest part is when the inventor girl gets all of their cell phones to work in the fantasy world. She just, like, modifies them, and now they all work. I'm like, but you don't have satellites and cell towers or Wi-Fi.
Problem solved.
Right. And there was a nuclear reactor on their plane that they can use as a power source that wasn't destroyed when it crashed.
Hmm.
I mean, that's fortunate, because,
yeah,
you know.
Sounds like great writing.
Yes. Well thought out, character driven storytelling. No, so that's the only one I really got to. I've read the reviews on the other ones, so I know what they're about. And of those, I'll probably check out the basketball one. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't get to that. So the ones that I saw were Kimono Michi Rise Up.
Okay, which, that's the wrestler one?
Yeah, it's a wrestler who has a serious affinity for animals. And then, believe it or not, now, hang on. Now, I don't want to blow your mind or anything, but he gets transported to another world.
No.
Yeah. Which is full of, like, animal girls. And he has a cute little dog, and I like the cute little dog. And he seems to have no compunctions about, he just wants to pet all the animals. It's pretty fan service-y, but, like, I did appreciate the main character's affinity for animals. He's, this is a pro wrestler.
Right.
And he shows up basically in his underpants. And for some reason never gets clothes in the first episode. I didn't understand why he wouldn't, like, immediately find a store and buy some.
Maybe it's really humid there.
Perhaps. And I liked how he pets both the wolf man and there's like a wolf. They're like kind of, you know, furries, like anthropomorphic wolf guy. And he's like, oh, I just want to pet you. And so he like tackles him and starts petting him. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. But then, you know, then it's full of animal girls, you know, a girl with ears and a tail. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I want to pet you, too. And like, it's very fan service-y and kind of little. No.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, no, little dog's cute. He's got a little dog that he carries around with him that, you know, it's very cute, but I don't think it worked out. It's a little too etchy for me. And also kind of stupid. And man, am I tired of isekai. The next thing was Cautious Hero. The hero is overpowered, but overly cautious. Now, I don't want to blow your mind or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a show about a guy who's really, really muscular and super overpowered. And once again, brace yourself.
Okay.
Gets transported to another world.
No.
Where everyone has giant breasts and is totally in love with him immediately. And he has enormous magic skill and huge physical prowess. And,
I kept waiting for you to end one of those adjectives with dick just because of the.
No.
It's a huge dick.
Probably. They'll probably hint at that at some point.
All right.
And they need his help. And there's like a demon lady and whatever. It's fucking isekai bullshit. Like, nope. Thumbs down.
The only thing this one seemed to have going for it that I could tell is that. Some interesting character animation, like
it looks good.
His faces are kind of funny.
Yeah, it looks good. It's a good looking show, but geez, the writing, whatever. Yeah, okay. So the next thing I got to was called Ascendance of a Bookworm. Now I need you to brace yourself. I don't want to blow your mind or anything.
Right.
This is about a lady who really loves books.
Okay.
And wait for it, gets transported to another world.
No.
God.
Come on.
Stop it. Jesus. Anyway, she gets transported to another world and there's no books. There you go. That's the present. She gets reincarnated as a little girl in a world where there's no books. And it's basically like, I love books. Wait, no books? The end. I thought it was boring and, like, whatever. Like, you're familiar with, like, the concept of, like, a book girl? Like...
In a girl who reads books?
Well, like, a girl
who...
A girl who identifies, like, her personality is, I really like to read a lot of books.
Okay, yeah. I've been that girl before.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I was in the eighth grade, so that's, yeah.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time. Not that long ago.
Maybe you'd like this one. I don't know.
Probably not.
I thought it was boring. It was like, okay, you love books, but now there's no books. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the payoff that eventually she gets a book? Like,
yeah, no, the payoff in this episode is that she finds someone who has a book, but it's wildly expensive. They're like commodities that only the very wealthy have.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of a medieval world.
Sure.
Whatever. I don't want to be too much of a grump, but it's like...
Ugh. First week's been a little rough.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got My Hero Academia right around the corner. Last thing I watched was After School Dice Club, which is cute girls playing board games.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Nothing else. That one was a little bit more fan service-y than I expected it to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was
kinda... How do you work in fan service while playing board games? Like, well, do you, like, so, lean over really far while you got the dice in your hand or something?
Like, well, there's one girl who doesn't even seems to not know what fun is. Like, oh, okay. Like, she has trouble having fun. And she meets another girl who's kind of, you know, genki. And she, like, falls into a river and her clothes get wet. And she, like, strips under this bridge. She's like, oh, I have a change of clothes, but I don't have panties. So she's walking around with a skirt and no panties.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know. It seemed kind of a little lewd. Like, you know.
It might be a breeze.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was like, this is a little. Why is this sexy? It's like, it's, they're playing board games. They're going to go play fucking Carcassonne. Like, it's Settlers of Catan, you know?
Right.
Like, why are they trying to, anyway, yeah, I'm not like opposed to fan service or anything. It's just, it felt out of place. It was like, this is a cute girls doing cute things show. Why are they doing that? All right. Anyway, well, anyway, that's what I saw so far. Honestly, season seems kind of weak, but there's stuff coming. So we'll see. I wish we had Beastars. Like,
I wish we had Beastars too.
I wish that wasn't a Netflix jail.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
We'll get the other half of Carol and Tuesday here in December, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah, maybe they'll drop at the same time. That would be nice.
That's good to hear. All right, hang on, let me get to the Twitter questions here. 1 second. 4DM asks, if Hollywood ever took another crack at the Penguin, who would you cast to play him? I feel the correct answer is just to get Danny DeVito again. If you had to pick someone else, who would you want to see? Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
TV's George.
I was going to say Paul Giamatti.
Oh, shit. No, that's a much better answer.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti. That would be great. Yeah. I would race to the theater to see that.
Yeah. But he has to eat cats, just like.
No eating cats. No eating cats.
Okay. No cats.
Helvetica cast. Whatever. Are you guys planning to do another decade in review special later this year? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Next question. Sewing Rose 11. I request two. She wrote Bat-Tam. Batman film rankings. Best film and most fun to rewatch. Well, most fun to rewatch, IMO, is Batman and Robin. And Batman 66.
I would say IMO, Batman Forever. For
yeah,
Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey just stunting all over the place.
Yeah, just hamming it. Yeah. They just fucking eat the scenery in that movie. Like, yeah. It's funny. Okay, a lot of questions about Batman Ninja, which I really did enjoy. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I didn't. No,
it's really good. It's weird. It's sort of you know, it's 3D CG, but I thought it looked really good. Like, I like that movie a lot. Like, I kind of need to revisit it. It's been a little bit, but I highly recommend that one. It's excellent.
How does it compare to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie where they go to Samurai Japan?
It's better than that.
Okay.
It's better than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. significantly so. Sir Dan Does Stuff asks, what do you reckon it would take for us to finally reach superhero movie critical mass? With 4 Marvel Universe productions releasing next year, I think we have to be really reaching a boiling point eventually.
I thought we already did.
No, I mean, Endgame is you know, Endgame happened. I mean, it's not slowing down. Like, there's 100 fucking superhero movies still coming out, and they'll all probably make $500 million or more. So, like, I don't know. People just don't get sick of it, I guess.
I guess not. My interest is waning. I felt like I needed to see Endgame to, like, cap all the time I spent at the other movies, and my interest has since waned to very specific films now. Like, I don't feel compelled to see them all and, like, know everything anymore. Like, I felt like you needed to with the earlier ones. Like, I'll go see the new Thor movie, and I'll probably see Black Panther too.
Yeah, I'll probably watch them all. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's part of the media diet now. Like, I watch as you evidenced by anyone who listens to this program, I watch a fuck ton of stuff. So I also watch superhero stuff. I mean, like, I don't always see everything right when it comes out, because a lot of it just does really feel like, you know, capital C content trademark.
Right.
but you know, whatever. They make all kinds of stuff. You just have to seek out the things that are unique if you're tired of superheroes.
Right. And yeah. I guess that's the point that I was getting at is with the prior films, like I saw them in theaters. I was really kind of invested in it. Now it's more of a leisurely thing. I don't feel compelled to keep up with the conversation about all of it anymore. I'll go see the ones that I really want in theaters. I might wait for the other ones to come out on Netflix, Redbox, or not see them depending on how interested I am.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, if you're not interested, don't watch it. There's like 400 other movies and like billions of hours of Netflix and HBO content if you want. Like, you can get right. whatever you want. We're in a glut right now. There's something for everybody. Okay, that actually does it for us. Thanks for coming by, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lindsay for coming on by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes and all the other places we're at. Leave us comments and reviews. We'd really appreciate it. It helps the show when you do that. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you all next time.